So there's so much going on today in the scriptures. These two stories are also in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. I like Mark the best because it's quick, short, squirrel. You know, it's kind of paying attention. It moves from one story to one story very quickly. And it's the shortest one to read. That's another reason I like it. Attention at deficit? I don't know. But great story. This is the beginning of where the religious people start to have issues with Jesus. You know how religious people can be, right? In these few verses, 17 verses, we witness a remodeling, right? There's a bit of faith, quite a bit of faith of four brave men. And there's a medical miracle. There's acceptance and there's forgiveness. Stuff we all need. Some guy said this about forgiveness. I don't know who it was, but I'm plagiarizing him. Forgiveness is the greatest miracle that Jesus ever performed. It meets the greatest need. It cost the greatest price. And it brings the greatest blessing and the most lasting results. I like that. So, in the story, Mark 2. Jesus is in the house, crowded, and so is forgiveness and healing and acceptance. It's packed. Isn't that what Pastor said? No room. I wonder if they're in there wearing all masks and stuff in there, right? These people are listening to Jesus bring them the good news of God's love for them. I want to imagine what it must have been like to be in that crowd, right? And then to see something taking place above you on the roof, I wonder what Jesus did. I'm guessing he had a smile. Just kind of did one of those. And then what if you were in the room? What would that have been like for you besides stuff falling on your head from the roof? Truly a huge wow moment in your life if you witnessed this stuff. Four guys bring a paralyzed man to Jesus. They believe that if they can present their friend to Jesus, well, Jesus will heal them. They have faith. These guys are persistent. They're willing to go to any length. And I don't know about you, but I'm moved when I see these four guys climb up on a roof. I haven't climbed up on the roof since last time my wife was not home. You know, you get past a certain age, don't go up on the roof. These are carrying, four guys carrying a guy who can't move. I'm moved by their love they have for their friend. Wow. Who do we carry when they get paralyzed? Who carries us when we get paralyzed? Christians. Father Joseph, maybe it's Reverend Joseph, said this. Christian life isn't difficult. It is impossible. If we don't know that, we will try to do things ourselves. Faith is not necessarily what we think we can do for ourselves. Faith comes along when we realize that we cannot do it on our own. I like that. And forgiveness comes, and then the healing. Jesus sees their faith. It was difficult what they did. They're remodelers. They ripped the roof off the house. They want their friend to be remodeled too. And so they take him to Jesus. They heard about how Jesus transformed lives. If we go to this one guy, they say, he'll make it all right. You see, Jesus knows that our greatest need is not a physical need. Mm-mm. Doesn't it make a difference when we're facing the great? It doesn't make a difference what we're facing in our lives. It's always been and always will be what? A spiritual need, all of us. And the place to find that is in Christ Jesus. Let him. Bring it all to him. Bring it all, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of our shame and guilt and sin are taken away by Jesus. Forgiveness. And then if you notice a few more verses down in the reading, do you notice those self-righteous religious people? They're really uptight. I mean, oh, they accuse Jesus of blasphemy. Great word, right? And that's exactly what they accused Jesus of at the end of Mark. I think it's Mark 14:63 during his trial. This man is accused of blasphemy. No one can forgive sins but God alone. And then Jesus goes even farther. Ready? He says what? He calls himself the Son of Man. That might be a reference to the prophet Daniel. Jesus goes out again, it says. He's walking along and he sees this guy, Levi, sitting in a tax office, a booth. Levi. Levi, son of Alphaeus, Levi, also known as Matthew. Levi, Matthew, the gospel writer, not the guy who invented those jeans. Oh, come on, it was better than that, wasn't it? Who still wears Levi's? I can't get myself in those anymore. It must be an age thing or something. Levi, right, is a tax collector. And he says what? Jesus says, follow me. And he did. Jesus and his disciples, it says, and other tax collectors and sinners even dine together. I think it's helpful to realize what this is, an extraordinary deal, you see, because back then, tax collectors were, they were collaborators with an occupying Roman army. They would take more money than was required, and they'd put it in their own pockets. They were scandalous. I mean, outright collaborators, widespread corruption. Tax collectors were considered terrorists and traitors, working for the enemy. That, of course, then disqualified them from what? Being a judge or a witness. Excommunicated them from the synagogue and from the eyes of the community. And that guilt and shame went all the way to their family, too. Sin. Bad dog, Levi. So here's the deal, though. I think the story tells us that what? Sin. Levi's sin, your sin, my sin, our sin is not an obstacle to God. Some of the most dedicated and sincere followers of Jesus Christ came from some of the worst backgrounds. Read the book. It's all in there. Some even spent time in jail. Remember that guy Paul, persecutor of the early church? He called himself the biggest of all sinners. We could argue that. I don't want to frighten you, but try some Lutheran aerobics just for fun. Look around you. Turn your head, see each other. You got it? Here's the deal. The church is full of sinners. Jesus is in the house. Don't think for a minute that anyone here is better than you. They're not. Don't think for a minute that you are better than anyone else. You're not. We're all sinners. The ground at the foot of the cross is level. Levi was a sinner. Jesus called Levi, right? Levi got up and followed him. God's mercy and grace is for everyone. Everyone. Therefore, we have no right to withhold God's mercy and grace from anyone. Jesus calls us to follow him. He says what? Follow him. Jesus calls us to repentance. Jesus said, I am not here for the health. Of the healthy don't need a doctor, but only sinners do, only those who are sick. I have come not to call the self-righteous, but sinners. We're in good company, aren't we? Two marvelous stories, back to back. Jesus does what is extraordinary in that he associates with people who the religious folks thought were outcasts, sinners. Here's the weird part. Extending love and forgiveness, understanding and acceptance to outcasts, healing with compassion and grace, they seem to be Jesus' trademark for all of us. In the eyes of Christ Jesus, there is hope and love for all of us. God bless you. The Lord is with you. Thanks for being here today. Let's stand and sing loudly our closing hymn.